Well, good morning. Welcome into the house of the Lord, and thank you for being here this morning. As we celebrate the risen Savior, as we come in the house of worship to just give God praise and honor and glory, it's so good to see everyone here this morning and continuing to come in and brave the rain and the rapids. Some of us had to maybe come in our cars, others in our canoes, but it's good to see us here this morning. And we're so thankful for God preparing the day for us, because God woke up before we did, amen? He said he never sleeps nor slumbers, that he knew today that he was preparing it for us, that we would give him glory. And so thank you for being here. To all of our guests and visitors, we thank you for fellowshipping with us this morning, because we're a church that love God and loves others. And so we're so thankful to have this time of worship with you. I'm Pastor Jeff, the family pastor here. And today I have the pleasure and opportunity to preach God's word and break bread with you. And so why don't we just take a moment to just think about all God has done and go on a journey together with the idea of thinking and meditating on the title of this message is Making the Most of Our Opportunities. Making the most of our opportunities, because we've all had opportunities in life. The biggest opportunity that we've been given, the greatest opportunity that we've been given, is to accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. That because of him, we move and breathe and have our being. And that we truly get to spend eternity with God when we make that decision to accept Christ. The Bible says we move from death into life. And so we have that opportunity to receive life, not just that one time, but every single day, that we choose to walk in life and to walk in the hope that God has given us. So let's take a moment and just think about that, making the most of our opportunities. Anybody in here just kind of said, man, I've missed a great opportunity before? Kind of be like, man, I wish I would have gotten it. And so if you see that term missed, M-I-S-S-E-D, that it passed us by. But so often I've noticed in my life that it's been more like not that I totally just kind of missed the mark, but I let it slip through my fingers like a mist. And that I wasn't watching close enough, or I wasn't preparing enough, and it just kind of, before I knew it, it got away from me. And so I ended up missing an opportunity that God had for me to maybe speak with someone, to share the gospel with them, to share God's love and his grace and his mercy. I think about back when I was in the military of Staff Sergeant Porter. And Staff Sergeant Porter was going through some trials in his life, and I could sense that he was in need of a word of encouragement, that he was in the need of just someone to just stand beside him. And so that morning when we were playing basketball on a court like this, I felt that pricking of God saying, talk to him. And so we went on in our day, and before I knew it, I let the day get away from me. And the day got away from me, and I missed that opportunity to talk to Sergeant Porter. That evening, we couldn't find Sergeant Porter. We didn't know where he was. And a few days later, I was the one to find his body. But Sergeant Porter had taken his life, because he felt like he didn't have any hope and that he couldn't carry on. And so I always remember that opportunity and allow it to shape how I conduct myself in this world. That God has given us a rich blessing that we can affect and shape so many others by our presence, by our hope, by our joy, and that we would allow the life-changing power that's been given to us to be imparted to somebody, someone else through us. So I want to talk about opportunities today, because there are ways that God uses to kind of get our attention a little bit. You know, one of those ways may be, you know, this has been a time-honored favorite for God getting my attention when it comes to opportunities. See, this can, you know, my mom used to say that I had kind of a hard head. You know, and so she needed a little wood. My mom used to have, it was called Mama's Helping Hand. Anybody remember that? And so she used to use that helping hand to get my attention, to remind me of what I needed to be doing. And so sometimes we need that little helping hand from God. But, you know, other times it might need it for God to light a fire underneath us, to remind us of stay ready, stay on point, stay attentive to about what he has for us. And then God also likes to prick our heart for those things that break his heart. And so maybe for some of us, is God speaks to us in a way that it causes us to be passionate about things. It causes us to be passionate about others. And we tear up when we even think about it. See, I'm not a crier. But I know some of you are. And so you get compassionate about things. And that's a way that God can use us to provide opportunity for others. But maybe for some of us, it's that life change, you know, that we have a life change, that it's a little more serious than we intended it or thought it would be. And we may have, like, need this defibrillator or cardiac arrest. That life change happens, and it stops us right where we are to say, wait a minute, what am I focusing on? What's truly important? What are the things that I need to be pressing towards that's more important than, you know, the job, more important than, you know, making money, more important than just the busyness of life? And so some of us may need that life change. And then for others, we may go, you know what, unless God, you know, like that doubting Thomas, unless I hear it directly from him, unless he gets my attention in such a way that I know without a shadow of a doubt that it's him, then I'm probably not going to do it. Well, y'all didn't think it was going to be an iPhone, did you? And maybe when we hear from God and we hear that message, it's like a Model 500 1960s old rotary phone. And we go, that couldn't be from God. No way he would be calling me that way. Because, see, I'm of a different generation. And so maybe if we just pick it up. Hello? Say what? This is not God. Johnny, stop playing on the phone. You want me to do what? You want me to be ready to give an answer of the hope and the glory that's within me? Ooh. Okay. How do I do that? And so we wonder, is it really God speaking to me? Is it really God pricking my heart? And so we spend a lot of time missing opportunities to share Christ, to show joy when we're having a trial, when we're going through something, because there's always somebody watching. To respond to someone with kindness when they're being rude to us, they're being hateful, they're being mean. But we respond in kindness. To be a good listener, to get on the journey with others. To be on that journey of life with one another. Thereby showing what Christ did for each and every one of us. That he maximized the opportunities that he had. That he knew that he was only going to be here for a short period of time. The Bible says we're like a smoke, we're like a puff of smoke. We're here today and gone tomorrow. And so Christ maximized the time and the opportunities that he had. And so I want to share with you those things that kind of keep us from maximizing those opportunities, making the most of those opportunities. And so if you have your Bibles, I'd like to share three key points with you. And the scripture reference is found in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Verse 1. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 1. And it reads, furthermore, then we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us how ye ought to walk and to please God, so ye would abound more and more. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you for your words today. Father, we ask you to speak to our hearts in a mighty way, that you may get all the glory, that we may maximize the opportunities that you've given us. Let us be used for according to your purpose. In Jesus' mighty name we do pray. Amen. And so as we think about this scripture, let me just give you a setting or a background of this. This is written by the Apostle Paul to the church in, I'm going to say, Thessalonica. Pastor and I said that word, and Pastor looked at me, and he smiled. And I say, it's Thessalonica. It's like they're wearing Nikes, you know. but in this city, this is a place that Paul, when he was on his missionary journey, that he went into the city and ministered the gospel of Jesus Christ. Many were saved, and there were those that were Jews, and there were those of the Greek culture that came to Christ. And so they started one of the first churches. But this is also the area where we see in the book of Acts, the 17th chapter, as Paul came into the city, as he started preaching Jesus Christ, there were unbelieving Jews. And those unbelieving Jews were very upset with this teaching that Paul was teaching. And so we see that in Acts, the 17th chapter. It says this. Well, don't go there yet. Let me just talk a little bit. So in Acts, the 17th chapter, the fourth verse, it says this. I'm going to read this for you. And some of them believed and consorted with Paul and Silas. So they use that word consorted. Like they shouldn't be talking together. Like they shouldn't be in relationship with one another. And of the devout Greeks, a great multitude. And of the chief women, not a few. So you had Jews, you had Greeks, you had women that were now coming to Christ, and they were fellowshipping together. And so because of this, the unbelieving Jews stood up and they started persecuting. They started false teaching. And then they started causing the people to become complacent because of all the challenges that were going on. And so we're going to talk about those three things, because those are the things that not only in that time, but even today, can affect us and how we maximize the opportunities that we have. And so let's talk about the challenges to making the most of our opportunities in Christ. See, the devil has a plan of attack. He wants to attack us in those three areas. He wants to persecute us. He wants to have false teaching come in. And he wants to cause us to be complacent. And so as we think about that idea of persecution, we see it evident in Thessalonica. We see that as Paul was ministering in Acts, the 17th chapter, the 5th verse, it says this, "But the Jews which believed not, moved with envy, took unto them certain lewd fellows of the baser sort, and gathered a company, and set all the city on an uproar, and assaulted the house of Jason, and sought to bring them out to the people." And so we see that there was great strife in their city. There were people that were being attacked, physically beaten, bruised, and assaulted. And so often when we're going through a trial, it can cause us to take our eyes off of God and put it on the situation. And so all of this was happening. And can you imagine, you're coming to Christ, you're hearing this new teaching, and then all of a sudden, all of these people start coming against you. And there's an uproar in your very own town. Maybe even would go so far to say that there's an uproar in your family. I know when I came to Christ, my mom said to me, she asked me if I had joined in a cult. There was persecution by other family members. But God was reminding me that he's greater than any persecution or trial. See, the scripture said these light afflictions are not worthy to be compared with the eternal weight of glory that will be revealed in us. But they are real. They happen, they affect us. And they can even cause us to get off focus of what God has called us to.
But Paul wanted us to know, and he responded to the church with these words. In 1 Thessalonians, the 2nd chapter, the 19th verse, he was telling them, don't forget. Don't forget what God has done, what he's doing. He said these words, for what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing, or not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? See what he's saying to it? Don't forget what God has done. Don't forget the hope and the joy that he's given you. That at the moment you came to know Christ as Lord and Savior, there was something that happened on the inside of you. That your joy became full. And that each day as we trust him and we seek his face, he shows up. He's faithful. He's always there. He's not only there today, but he'll be there at the day of redemption. He'll be there. We'll see him face to face. So he reminded them, in the midst of persecution, don't forget what God has done. See, if we fast forward and we try to put this in today's situations, there's always something on the media trying to attack Christians. There's always something in the liberal agenda trying to come against God. And if we're not careful, those things can have an effect on us. It can cause us to step back. It can cause us to not want to reach out and make ourselves vulnerable. And share with someone because they may say the wrong thing to us. They may treat us unkind. And so we can tend to get a little hesitant about sharing what God has done for us. But he says, don't forget what he's done, because he's mighty. He's done great things for each and every one of us. He also tells us and reminds us in 1 Thessalonians 3:3, don't be moved. That no man should be moved by these afflictions. For yourselves know that we are appointed thereunto, that there's going to be times of trials. There's going to be days that are not going to be easy. And so he say, don't be moved by it. Don't step back. Don't cause it to alter your language or who you are, but speak life and truth. Don't come and be like the world, but be separated from the world in our thinking. In our heart condition. And then we allow the light in us to show to the world. So he says, don't forget who you are. And then in the don't be moved, he says, don't be moved from who we are. Don't be moved from who we are. We are a royal priesthood, a holy nation. We are the righteousness of Christ, called unto good works. Don't be moved from who we are, that we know that we are the children and the people of God, and he is holy and righteous. Therefore, be ye holy, for he is holy. That we suffer afflictions not only in the outward but in the inward, so that the inward man would be sanctified before God. But then there's their second piece, that false teaching, that if we're not careful, we can believe a lie. See, there was false teaching going on in the church during this day. One example is found in 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 16. It says, forbidding us to speak to the Gentiles that they might be saved, to fill up their sins always, for the wrath is come upon them to the uttermost. See, the false teaching was that they were teaching that the Greeks couldn't be saved, that they were so far gone. And actually, it was kind of a teaching of election, that us Jews got it all together, that God wants to save us, but he don't want to save everybody else. And so often that can be permeated today. We may not say the words, but we may look at someone and say they're just too far gone. That there's no hope for them. That God really didn't intend for them to be saved. But as we look at the scriptures, we see that it says that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. He came that none would be lost, but that all would come into the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. So they were teaching this false doctrine, and they were teaching these things that weren't true, and it was having an effect on the saints of God. It was having an effect on how they conducted themselves and how they walked and how when they saw someone in need, it was like, well, maybe they're not the one. And it can cause us to hold our tongue, believing that they did not have to do anything because Christ was coming back for them. See, that was this other false teaching that was going on during that time. They had literally stopped working. They had stopped taking care of their home. Their home had started falling apart because they thought the second coming of Christ was going to come immediately. And so we look at the scriptures and we know that no man knows the day nor the hour. And yes, we should have an expectation of Christ coming back, but he's given us business to do today until he comes. And so we have to be ready in season and out of season to give an answer of the hope and the glory that's within us. We can't lump it all on Christ and say, well, he's got it. He'll take care of it. The Christ in us wants to be a living witness, wants to seek and to save those that are lost. And so we are the body of Christ, and he wants to use us this day to be a living example of who he is. So Paul responded in 1 Thessalonians 4 to this false teaching, verse 11 and 12. And his biggest point that he was making is learn the truth. If you want to dispel a lie, the way we do that is by learning the truth. Is by knowing truth. You shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free, will make you free. So look what he says here. And that ye study to be quiet, and to do which your and to do your own business, and to work with your own hands, as we commanded you, that ye may walk honestly toward them that are without, and that ye may have lack of nothing. A key part there is study, to be quiet. See, the Greek translation of that word quiet means to repose. And we think about when someone has died. Have you heard anyone that has died talking? That word repose means to rest, to settle, to be still. And so what he's saying there is study so that all the confusion that the devil tries to bring and all of the misunderstanding, that there would be rest, that we would be stilled in God, that we wouldn't be confused about all of these things, that it causes us to hush our mouth and close our heart because we're so confused, but just to rest in the truth of God. And not only to rest in that truth of God, but now his word teaches us to do business. That we study God's word so that we know his precepts, but also to practice what he's told us. To do business, how to conduct our lives, how to conduct our families, how to conduct ourselves in the workplace. How to be beacons of light and hope. To do your own work, because we each and every one of us have a work. And to work with your own hands. So he was saying, don't think that you know when Christ is coming. Be busy today. Someone said to me a long time ago, and it spoke with my heart, that we're not going to know everything, and we're not going to know all the plans that God has. But in the absence of knowing, be found doing. Be found doing. And so we learn God's truth. And we step out in that truth. It provides comfort. It provides rest. So what's the purpose of these outward challenges? We talked about persecution. We talked about false teaching. The purpose of those that the devil throws those out and afflicts us with that, so that we would become complacent, so that we would be fearful and complacent, that we would draw back, that we would not walk as we should or as we ought to walk according to God's plan and God's purpose. That fear causes us to draw back. See, complacency is defined as this, as a feeling of smug or uncritical satisfaction with oneself or one's achievements. In other words, we've done enough. We're satisfied right where we're at. We don't need to grow anymore. We don't need to move any forward. We're complacent. And we just go through the routines day by day. And before you know it, we're not being effective. We're just going through the motions. Week turns into a month. Month turns into a year. Year turns into a decade. And there's been no impact around us. And of taking those opportunities that God has given. See, complacency is being satisfied with where we are. So we don't move forward and grow in our relationship with God and our relationship with others. So Paul says these words in 1 Thessalonians 4. See, the first three chapters was just kind of letting them know, I know where you are. I know what you're going through. I know what's happening. But now let me give you some words of instruction, give you some words of encouragement. And so he says this in 1 Thessalonians 4, 1, furthermore, then we beseech you. So that's an earnest request. That I'm speaking to you that know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, the brothers and sisters in Christ. And I want you to be encouraged by the Lord Jesus Christ, because he is the answer for everything. I want you to be encouraged that Jesus Christ is on the throne, that he hasn't forgotten us, that as ye have received of us how we ought to walk. See, there's a way of walking, and there's a way to please God. And the way that we walk is that we draw nigh to him. We don't draw away from him. We're intentional about reaching out to him to let him know that we love him, that he's not just have transformed our life, our spiritual life, but he wants to transform our mind, our will, and our emotions. He wants to transform our soul. And so we walk according to allowing his transformational power to work in us. And that we please him by walking in faith. We're not going to know all the answers. We're not going to know all the steps. But we walk in faith. See, Hebrews 11, 6, Paul said this. He says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. How do we please God? By faith. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. That we seek after God, that we seek after Christ. And that he will reward, that we believe on his name, not just one time, but every day. When we're going through those trials, when things come at us, when we don't understand, I believe in the risen Savior. I believe that God has a plan for my life. I believe that God wants my neighbor to be saved. That I believe that God wants everybody in my household to come to know him. And I don't know all the answers. I don't know all the right words to say. But I know God can make an opportunity. And maybe that opportunity is for me to share who he is and whose he is and where we're headed. But maybe that opportunity is for me. So I want to be ready. I want to be available. I want to maximize the most of that opportunity. And maybe it's just a few words. And maybe it's not words at all, but maybe they see me going through something and I keep the joy of the Lord as my strength. And they go, wow. Why is she still standing? Why is she still trusting God? When all kind of disease have afflicted her body, why is she still in hope? Because she's walking by faith. She believes the promises of God. See, complacency creates missed opportunities because we get so overwhelmed by these things that happen in our lives. And we miss opportunity after opportunity after opportunity. We say everything is fine. There's no need to grow. No need to be transformed. No need to be ready for the opportunity. See, we look at it as a trial. We look at it as a, why is all of this happening to me instead of an opportunity? What is God doing? What can He do? What's impossible? For God, there's nothing impossible for Him. So Paul wanted to encourage us in 1 Thessalonians 5, 5 through 6. Remember who you are. Remember who you are. He says, ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. See, we're not the children of darkness. We're not the children of with no hope. We're the children of light. We are not of the night nor of the darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep. Let us not be complacent. As do others, but let us watch and be sober. Let us be listening. Let us be understanding. Let us be watchful for what God is doing, and be ready to make the most of our opportunities. So what if we did that? What if we listened to that still small voice? That in the midst of all the distractions, we kind of just push them out and say, God, I'm listening. And God, I know that your plan is holy and righteous. And he started speaking some truths and started speaking hope into our lives and reminding us each and every day. He might say some things that we're not ready to hear. He might tell us to lay down some things so that we can pick up some things. He may tell us to remove ourselves from certain situations so we can be more in tune to his direction, his plan for our lives. I remember when I truly gave my heart over to the Lord, and I was saying, Lord, I'm listening, I'm hearing. And the first thing that he pricked my heart with is time to leave the city that you're in. It's time to leave home and go to another place, and I moved 80 miles away. At the time, I was so uncertain of how that was going to work out, but God had a plan. He knew what I needed. And so there are seasons in life, there are times when God moves us, and there's times when God says, stay planted right where you are. Let me work in and through you in the midst of all of these trials. And I just want to share with you that this is happening again in my life and in Melissa's life. That God has kind of said that, you know, not kind of, but emphatically said, it's time to lay down some things so that I can transition you to a new assignment, a new plan, a new direction. And part of me didn't want to hear that, but also part of me knew that God's plans are always righteous and holy, and they're pure and they're correct. And so I went to Pastor a couple of weeks ago, and we've been talking on and off about this sensing of God, making a transition almost a year in the making. But it was emphatic, because we can wait so long and we can stay so stagnant and so complacent about the things that we're doing that we can miss the season that God has for us. And we can miss the transition that he's wanting to now use us in a mighty way even more. And so, being obedient to the Lord, I needed to go to Pastor and say that it's time. And so by the end of this year, I'll be stepping down formally and officially at being on staff here at Chores. Don't know what all that means at this point. Don't know the ministry opportunity in full, what God has, but I know that he has something. And I know that it's more important for us to be obedient than just to hold on to what we like and what we love. Because I love Chores Baptist. I hope you all know that. And so making the most of the opportunities that God has given me and given us, it's important to be obedient to him. And so I hope that you all will walk in prayer and walk with us as we make this transition. But this is for all of us, that God has a plan for each and every one of us, that he wants to speak to us and say, go, or stay planted right where you're at. Because, see, God's will is more so this way than it is this way. That he says, be ready to give an answer. But sometimes he's going to say, go this way. And so we have to be ready for that as well, as we remember who we are, whose we are, and where we're headed. So how do we make the most of the opportunities that we have in Christ? The very first thing that Paul speaks to us about, and he reminds us of this in Romans 12, verse 2, and he says, to make the most of the opportunities that we have in Christ, be not conformed to this world. Don't allow this world to conform you. Don't allow peer pressure and society to conform who you are in Christ. But be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That you may prove it. That God wants to transform us from the inside out. That we would let him do that perfect work in us so that we can make the most of every opportunity that he gives us, that we allow him to sanctify our heart, to separate our heart from the world and always give it to him. So he would break our hearts for what breaks his, so that we would be compassionate enough to make a difference. That we would weep with those that are weeping. That we would stand with those that maybe can't stand for themselves at that moment. But for that to happen, we must be transformed. But then he also tells us in 1 Thessalonians 5:8, but let us. That means we have to be intentional about it. We have to do something. We can't just say, I want to, Lord. I love you, Lord, and I love others, but we have to be intentional. So he says, but let us who are of the day be sober. Be sober, be wise, have understanding. Don't walk in darkness. He says, now put on the breastplate of faith and love. In other words, allow the word of God to be in your heart. Allow God's love and his mercy and his grace to be in your heart. That we have to put it on because there's trials coming. That so easily we can get out of sort because of somebody's mistreatment of us. But we put on the breastplate of faith and love. and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. We remind ourselves daily of what God has done for us, what he's doing, how he saved us from death and brought us into life, how he caused us to not be self-destructive. See, I don't know about you, but my wife reminded me that I needed to be saved from myself. And she needed to be saved from herself. And we all need to be saved from ourselves, because we can be self-destructive. And so we're intentional about putting on the breastplate of faith and love, so that we can love on others, so that we can have faith in God, we can walk with him and love him, and that we would never lose that hope that we have, so that we can make the most of every opportunity. So I leave you with these words. Be intentional because of who you are. You are God's light. Be wise and walk in truth. Don't believe the lies. Guard and prepare your hearts and minds with God's word, God's love, and have hope. Stand in that hope. And when we've done all that we can do to stand all the more. The question for us today is, are you showing the beauty of Christ that's in you? Are you showing the wonderful beauty of Christ that's in you? Are you making the most of that? God wants to show you to somebody. He wants to show how beautiful he is in you. He wants to show the world that your flaws and your scars and your mistakes don't define who you are. That you are truly wonderful because God made you so. And we have an opportunity to show that to somebody, so they would say, I want that. I want that hope. I want that peace. I want that joy that's inside of you. Make the most of your opportunities. Let us pray. Father God, as we are so thankful for what you've done, we're so thankful that you thought about us, that you were not willing for us to be lost, and that you sent Jesus Christ to die for our sins, that we would have the opportunity to be in relationship with you. Lord, we pray that if there's anyone here today that are not sure of their salvation, are not sure that they know Jesus, that they would decide today to make Jesus the Lord of their life. That they would make the most of this opportunity. That they would come to the altar and say, I need Jesus. And Father, we pray that we would have a heart that's turned towards you. That we would surrender everything to you. To allow you to transform us from the inside out. To allow you to ready us and position us to make the most of every opportunity. Father, we pray this in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.